I'm Rose Skeeters, host of From Borderline to Beautiful, a show about hope and recovery for BPD. Hello, and welcome to another episode of From Borderline to Beautiful. I am your host, Rose Skeeters, and today I want to talk about what it means to have a BPD favorite person and whether or not you have a favorite person. So remember that people with borderline personality disorder heavily depend on and rely upon others for external validation. A favorite person is when you have someone in your life that is really your sole source for emotional support, comfort, and validation. And I've referred to the favorite person in the past as a favorite host because I saw it as, and I spoke for myself, but as my wanting to kind of suck the life dry out of that other person. And I wanted to know where they were, why they weren't texting me back, whether or not they love me, how much they love me, what they were doing. And my mood would depend on their mood. So if they were happy, I was happy. If they thought I was worthy, I thought I was worthy. And so that's just a very big tall order, let's say, to ask of another person because it puts them in a position where there's just never enough that they can give. And it's really wearing on an individual. I know that when I looked at myself and took some honest self-reflection and kind of meditated on that, I was able to determine that that behavior wasn't something that I could tolerate if someone were doing that to me. And so I really feel that love being on my moral compass means that, you know, I want to love and treat other people the way that I want to be treated. And, you know, doing that host-like behavior isn't something that was a healthy relationship. But in any event, if you have BPD, you might be at the beginning of your journey. And if you're wondering whether or not you have a favorite person, I just wanted to take some time today to talk about what that would look like. And if you're further on in your journey, you can listen in a little bit later in the episode where I talk about how to have a true friend versus, you know, what a frenemy is, let's say. So as you all know, BPD can make it really challenging to maintain stable relationships. Oftentimes, the favorite person relationship, it's usually a family member, a romantic partner, someone else in a supportive role. Maybe it's a coach or a teacher, but it's somebody that you are going to be dependent on emotionally. And unfortunately, it might start healthy, but it often turns into this toxic love-hate cycle and this push-pull, which we can term as idealization or devaluation of the person. So if the person is there for me, if they're happy, if they think I'm worthy, if they want to spend time with me, well, then they're the best person ever. And I put them on a pedestal and I'm looking up at them and they're looking down at me. And then all of a sudden they text me and they say, I can't make it today. And then there's that hate. How could you do this to me? How can you leave me all alone? Please help me. And they're devaluing. You devalue them through that BPD lens and you kind of are looking down at them. And there's a sort of polarized back and forth. That's why I called it that toxic love-hate relationship. And so, you know, these shifts between idealization and devaluation, they can occur rapidly, they can occur frequently, and it really leads to instability in a relationship. It's super painful for the person with BPD as well as for the host. The person who's being asked to fulfill this role. So if you're asking yourself, how do you know if you have a favorite person? Well, the first thing that I would encourage you to think about is whether or not you have a BPD diagnosis, because usually they go hand in hand. And after you have a diagnosis, you want to see, kind of check in and assess the relationship itself, right? So let's ask ourselves, what does it feel like to have a favorite person? Well, it feels obsessive. It can also feel, to be hyperbolic, terrifying. Because it's like you have to have that person. You have to talk to them all the time, right? You might crave the other person's attention and approval, right? To a certain extent, if we look at romantic relationships, it can be confusing as to whether the person is just someone you're in love with or whether or not they are a favorite host or a favorite person. Oh, but because, you know, a romantic partner, especially new, it can be a little obsessive. It can be a little intense, right? But the favorite person or the favorite host is someone who is expected to make the person with BPD always answer the phone call, respond to all the messages, be excited to see them, and just have this like constant desire to make the person with BPD, you know, the center of attention. Another sign that you have a favorite person is that maybe that person easily affects your mood, right? So remember I said that your moods, right, might revolve around their moods. Maybe you're just really eager to make them happy. Maybe you feel like a child, like you want their approval, you want their attention. Maybe you feel like you lose yourself in the relationship. If you feel overly self-critical and you feel like you are copying the person's behavior instead of being true to who you are or to who you want to become, losing that sense of self, you might have a favorite person. Maybe you'll even find yourself testing the loyalty of that person. I mean, if you've centered your life around somebody, think about it. Any slight intentional or unintentional reaction, you know, can cause fear or anger or the sense of instability. So if you have an inclination to test your favorite host's loyalty by seeing how far you can push them before the person leaves you, that's a good indicator that you have a favorite person. Now, here's another question that's often gotten asked of me, and that question is, what about me? Am I someone's favorite person? So sometimes support persons of people with BPD find it flattering to be the favorite person or favorite host, because maybe it feels like you can help them and you can rescue them. But we really want to be watching out for that toxic love-hate relationship, because it can be really confusing for someone who doesn't see the world through the BPD lens. If all of a sudden you're being praised and you're, you know, this person's, you know, favorite and best, and then all of a sudden you need to go and attend to your sick child, or you need to go and kind of, I don't know, you're sick, you're not feeling well, you're late, and you have to disappoint the person with BPD, and then you're being devalued. It can be confusing. So if you're responsible, or you feel responsible for the person's choices, for their mood, if you're their first point of contact for news, if you're, you know, you feel like they are jealous of activities that you do in your life, your relationships, activities, children, you spending time with children, if they are in crisis when you're distracted and they tend to depend on you for advice or guidance or reassurance, if they say things that are related to abandonment, like, please help me, like, please don't leave me, I can't take this, why are you doing this to me? It might be an indication that you are someone's favorite person. And again, I say favorite host and favorite person interchangeably. I do prefer that term favorite host because in recovery, I believe that the truth is paramount, especially Truth Tuesday. We really need to take an honest look at the way that we are behaving so that we can change relationships and how to have better relationships. So if you want to maintain a relationship with someone who you really love and value, and you want to flip the script and you want to have a little bit more of a reciprocal, well, let's say a lot more of a reciprocal interaction, especially when it comes to friendship, you definitely want to work in recovery on enhancing your ability to understand that your favorite host or favorite person doesn't think exactly like you, feel exactly like you, that they have a mind that's separate from your mind, and then they experience the world differently, and that they require space. You know, they require that in order to rest, in order to recharge, in order to be the best version of themselves. And, you know, being able to learn some of those concepts can be instrumental in transforming a relationship that might be that favorite host, favorite perfect person dynamic. So don't think all is lost if you are a favorite person or if you have one. There are things definitely that you can do. Now, lastly, on this brief Tuesday Truth episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about friendships. And the reason I want to talk about that is because many people that I talk to, they say to themselves, I don't have any friends. I don't know how to be a good friend. How do I be a good friend if every time I'm in a relationship with someone, they become my favorite host? That's such a valid question. And, you know, for a long time, I said, you know, this recovery business is a lot of work. So I don't know if I want to have friends. Like, how much empathy do I, or can I really learn all at one time? And further along in recovery, the more I got good at having more fluid empathy with others around me. And I began to go from that, oh, I hate people mentality to actually, I love people mentality. I started wanting to bring people into my life, to bring people into my heart. And then I realized, okay, what is a friendship then? And it's interesting because I know logically what a friendship is, right? A friendship logically is somebody who you spend time with, you hang out with. And then I found myself going, okay, well, what else? And do they have to like everything that I like? How often do they hang out with me? You know, things that were part of that blank space that I've talked about in previous episodes in my brain, because things that appeared logical that I would know, I didn't actually know how to execute on. So I didn't have a lot of common sense. And maybe that's relatable to you. And what I mean by common sense, it sounds harsh to say, but I had lots of academic intelligence. I was able to do, you know, calculus, algebra, what have you in high school. But when it came to the obvious, I really missed that, kind of blew past me a bit. And things like friendships, how to have one, it really wasn't obvious to me. And it really wasn't obvious to me until, again, I started learning in recovery how to control my emotions, how to handle my temperament, right? So I talk about recovery from BPD as, you know, not meeting criteria for the disorder, but having the temperament, the hyperbolic temperament, you know, that's totally going to stick with me. Temperament, that's something that, you know, I was born with. I'm born with a sensitive temperament, a hyperbolic temperament, and this revving up and revving down. And, you know, I'm blessed to have that ability to control it, to have enough self-awareness to live a really fulfilling life. And so at that time, when I had all my, let's say, ducks in a row, I'm like, okay, then now it's time to have some friends, right? So I want to have friends. And I've had conversations with clients recently where they say, hey, I want to have a friend too. I'm scared. Like my like history or my experience, excuse me, with friendships is that I latch on and I make them my favorite host. And like, Rose, what do I do? How do I redefine that? Well, number one, super big tip here, slow down. Having an intense temperament can often mean that when you think of something joyful like friends, you start revving up. You can go back and listen to that episode I have in previous seasons about revving up the borderline brain, the emotions in that temperament. They go like an engine. It's like, I want to have a friend. How do I get a friend? Maybe I'll download an app. What are we going to do together? We're going to spend all our time together. Rev, 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 rev. I'll never have friends. Explosion. No one will like me. I'll never be able to do it. I'm just going to make them my favorite host. Why should I do it anyway? So all of those intrusive thoughts can rush in as part of our secondary emotions, our fears. And the primary emotion, the, you know, present moment can get washed away when that occurs. So my challenge to you is slow down. Slow down your speech. If you need to use a thought stopping technique when you have intrusive thoughts, I'll review that briefly. That's when you would kind of yell out stop or speak out a word stop. You can shake your head around a little bit and then change your physical state. That helps at times quell those intrusive thoughts, quell that revving. I definitely recommend physical exercise. Sometimes that revving is related, or oftentimes I should say, it's related to an angst experienced in the body. And then once you've slowed yourself down, you want to make sure that you remind yourself that borderline personality disorder in large part is a developmental delay, right? A personality that's been delayed. And, you know, a brain development that's been delayed. And so what you want to do is learn about friendships. Early in recovery, I would Google, what's a friend? What's a good relationship? What does a good partner do? How to be a good wife? How to be a good mother? And, you know, those things at the time seemed silly to me, and they seem silly even in earlier seasons of the podcast. It's been 5 years now. This is the fifth year of the podcast. And I realized that they're not silly at all because I did not know what a healthy relationship looked like because of this I love you, I hate you push-pull. right? So let's look at the difference between frenemies and what a true friend would do and what the characteristics of that are before we wrap up for today. Okay, so a frenemy only loves when it's convenient, right? But a true friend is going to love you all the time, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, whether you can spend time, they can spend time with you or not. They're going to love you, and their love is going to be permanent and constant. A frenemy is just going to hang around when it's good for them. But a true friend is loyal and faithful. They're going to show up for you. They're going to be loyal to you. They're not going to talk about you behind their back. They're going to be faithful to you. They're going to want to spend time with you, and they're going to actually have an expectation that you would be loyal and faithful to them back, that you wouldn't just hang around with them when you needed that external validation. A frenemy would lead you to make a decision or lead others to make a decision that might cause harm. Because maybe with their own interests at heart, they're not thinking about being benevolent. They're actually thinking about the opposite. But a true friend is going to offer you good advice. It's going to help you make a wise choice, a choice that is going to be good for you because they love you, they have good intentions, they're loyal, they're faithful, and they want the best for you, even if the decision doesn't involve them. A frenemy wants to be served. They have a gimme, 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 gimme mentality. But a true friend wants to serve others. They want to spend time with others and give to others and connect with others. They're not in it just for themselves. A frenemy focuses entirely on themselves, and they're really bothered by the needs of others. A true friend focuses on the needs of others. They go to take care of that person, and they know that they're going to get their needs met because they're not preoccupied with their self so much so that they're isolated and alone. And lastly, a frenemy says what others want to hear, no matter whether it's true or not. They don't really care about honesty. They'll maintain a friendship at any cost just to keep that person around. But a true friend is going to speak the truth always, even when it's really hard and it might risk the friendship. Now, as I went through those, I'm wondering if you made the connection between frenemy and the BPD favorite host or favorite person. They sound really similar, right? If I look to somebody for all of my emotional needs, my validation, you know, my connection, my comfort, if I idealize them and devalue them, if I have a selfish worldview and mindset towards this person because I want them to look at me and give me attention and not abandon me, well, then I'm a frenemy, loving when it's convenient. I don't really care about them. I don't really love them because when they need space and they need to recharge, it's not so convenient for me because it makes me feel abandoned. And maybe I only hang around when it's good for me. Maybe I lead them to make decisions that might harm themselves and their own need for boundaries because I perceive my needs to be more important or through the BPD lens. Maybe I just want to be served. Feed me, give me what I need because I can't give myself what I need. And definitely through that BPD lens, there's this focus on myself. Maybe I'm bothered by the needs of others. Like, I hate people. I don't have time for that. You have to feed me. I have BPD. Don't you know I'm sensitive? I need. What about me, me, me? And then the last one was saying what others want to hear, no matter how true. Maintaining friendships at any cost. So if I have a fear of abandonment, I might do that. I might tell my favorite host anything they want to hear. I might not tell them the truth. Likely not, because if I want someone to validate me, to give me all of my, for them to meet all of my needs, I'm going to have to lie, right? And distort the truth, because I know logically that they can't possibly be there for me all the time, right? But if you didn't know, you know now. And the true friend. A true friend is going to love you just all the time, just because they love people. They're going to be loyal and faithful. They're going to offer good advice that helps you make wise choices, serve others. They're going to focus on the needs of others and speak the truth Always, even when it's really hard and even when it might risk the friendship. That number six is so important to me. It's almost become, you know, a coping mechanism for me is having the truth. I require the truth. And if I can't have a friendship or a relationship where the person is going to speak the truth for me, it's very difficult for me to navigate that relationship because I can operate in a world with honesty and truth and integrity. It's clear to me. It's concise to me. It feels safe to me. So these are some tips for you, some things to think about. And maybe as you proceed through recovery, you can start saying to your favorite person or your favorite host, hey, you know what? I'm sorry that I rely on you for these things. So what I'm going to work on is one thing at a time. I want to be someone who focuses not just on my needs, but on your needs as well. And so today, I want to let you know that I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to be texting you. And it's not an episode. I'm not stonewalling you. I just really want you to have space and time for yourself. And maybe you also follow it up with, hey, look, I'm not going to be good at this. This is brand new to me. That's why in this podcast, I just read the frenemy and the true friend qualities twice. Because it's all new learning. Repetition is just the best way to learn something new. And so I want you to think, can I be humble? Can I walk humbly into my relationships and say, I'm sorry, and I want to change my behavior, and you know what, I'm going to fail at this, and I don't want to be the tick to the host. I don't want to idealize you and then blindside you by devaluing you all in 1 hour, in a few minutes, and I want to learn how to be better because I do love you. And I do believe that, you know, final note here today is I do believe that the person with BPD who has a favorite host or a favorite person truly loves that person, but just doesn't know how to do it healthily. I do believe that. And so that's why we look at it through the lens of developmental delay. What are the skills I'm lacking? Let's learn them. And once you learn them and you begin to practice this, you don't have to be scared about making someone your favorite person and they'll leave you. You can stop focusing so much on you and start focusing just a bit more on others. Because if you're less concerned about having friends and more concerned about being a friend, you're going to attract people into your life who need a friend. Friendships are difficult. Relationships are difficult. And there are no perfect relationships at all. But on Truth Tuesday, I want you to remember that you are worthy, you are loved, you can have friends, people will connect with you, some people will leave you, and you will need to leave some people. But in the end, if you focus on being a good friend, a true friend, a loyal friend, an honest friend, you will bring people closer to you. All right, everybody. That's it for today's episode of Tuesday Truth. Don't forget, there is a coaching group that begins the first Friday in May. If you want more information about that group, you can send me a text at 844-984-7483 or an email at rose@thriveonlinecounseling.com. If you want to sign right up, you can go on over to our website, thriveonlinecounseling.com, and do that there. Well, I'll see you guys next week for another episode of From Borderline to Beautiful. Are you tired of feeling frustrated, resentful, or disconnected from your family, friends, and partner? Thrive Mind Body LLC Mindset Coaching and Counseling can help you. Visit us on the web at thriveonlinecounseling.com. Again, that's thriveonlinecounseling.com.